The Gospel according to St. Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and religious scholars, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Rabbi," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get yourself behind me, you Satan. You are trying to make me stumble and fall. You're setting your mind not on the things of God, but of mortals." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "If you wish to come after me, you must deny your very selves. Take up the instrument of your own death and begin to follow in my footsteps. If you would save your life, you will lose it. But if you would lose your life for my sake, you will find it. What profit would you show if you gained the whole world but lost yourself? What can you offer in exchange for your very self? The Promised One will come in the glory of Abba God, accompanied by the angels, and will repay all according to their conduct. The truth is, some of you standing here will not taste death before you see the coming of the Promised One's reign." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours in the name of the Triune God. Amen. I was 25, I was confused, I was a mess, and I didn't know what was next. I sat nervous and awkward in my therapist's office, clutching a shoebox full of childhood pictures. Together, we flipped through them. Frame by frame, I saw my life pass by in front of my eyes. There was a baby, then a little girl, then a teenager, then a young woman. She posed in Sunday school dresses and soccer uniforms, and even as a bridesmaid. This person, everyone in my life seemed to know her. Everyone except for me. I had begun to see a therapist because I was just beginning to tinker with facing a truth that I had dreaded and hid from and ran from and denied. I wanted to be a guy. At the end of our session, my therapist put it like this. She said, "I tell this to everyone. You're not ready to make this choice. You're not ready to transition, unless if you're willing to lose everything you have for this. You're not ready for this unless if you're willing to lose everything you have for it." What? I was so angry at her for saying this that I walked away and started seeing another therapist. Because therapists are supposed to be encouraging and affirming, right? I was wrestling with doing this big, bold, and terrifying thing. And she wanted to unpack the possibility of me losing everything I had for it. I didn't feel encouraged or affirmed. Many people got angry and walked away from Jesus too. And you can see why by the way that he's talking to Peter today. It was only verses before today's passage that Peter had just finally gotten it right and made a big, bold confession that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. And then Jesus immediately begins talking about his suffering, death, and resurrection. This was not the encouraging affirmation that Peter was looking for. And so Peter rebukes Jesus. And in response, Jesus has some harsh words for Peter. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." He reminds Peter of Peter's place. Because Peter, after all, was a disciple. A follower. He belongs behind Christ, following him, not in front of him, determining his path. And then Jesus puts before us this impossible proposition. If we wish to follow him, we must carry our own cross. If we wish to save our lives, we will lose them. But if we lose our lives, we will find them. Whenever I read this passage, I look back now years later at myself, nervously sitting on that couch and clutching my shoebox full of memories. Ultimately, however mad it may have made me, however clinically inadvisable my therapist may have been, her honesty was part of what motivated me to take the leap of faith and become who I am. And it also became part of what propelled me to go to seminary. What did I have to lose? Everything I had ever known, my life as I knew it. But what did I have to gain? The life I had never had, a life that truly is life. What was the worst that could have happened? Death? I had already thought plenty about that. I already knew that there were worse things than death. I used to think that taking up my cross meant taking on lots of spiritual disciplines and trying really hard to be holy. But now I know that your cross is not a thing that you have to go around looking for. Whatever your cross is, it's likely that you'll have a more difficult time avoiding it than you will of identifying it. In this life, our crosses find us. It's just the way it is. Our only choice is, will you die avoiding yours, or will you live carrying it? Because ultimately what Jesus is proposing to us is the only life that really is life, one that is fierce with reality. If you wish to know abundant life, you will open yourself up to death and loss and failure and heartache. And it will be worth it. It will be the only type of life worth living. We know from modern psychology that, as it turns out, it's not possible to selectively numb emotions. When you numb negative emotions, you also numb the positive ones. And so when you open yourself up to death and loss and failure and heartache, you also open yourself up to life and love and joy and compassion. Now, oftentimes the lives that are truly worth living don't look like what the world would define as success. But they are rich and full lives. And I'm sure of it because I've seen you choose them. Sometimes it looks like asking for help, or leaning on a friend, or facing the difficulties of aging, or living your life with chronic health conditions, or opening yourself up to love after a difficult divorce or breakup, choosing to be single, choosing simplicity over luxury, learning how to live with an open heart even after losing someone dear to you. Or I think about, for us as a church, how right now it's embracing that our relationship with our property has to change. All of these scenarios involve loss. You lose who you've been for the sake of who you might become. Regardless of death, we only stop living when we're unwilling to lose who we've been for the sake of who we might become. Let me say that again. Regardless of death, we only stop living when we're unwilling to lose who we've been for the sake of who we might become. It's not easy, but it is worth it. When you lose your life, you will find it. Thanks be to God. Amen.